You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 2nd of October. Training camp is underway, and the second play of the scrimmage shows the smarts of the new guys. But it's teaching new habits and teaching the new guys how to play differently. Plus, sitting down with Dante Exum. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and firing you up, and hopefully making it a lot better time to be a Jazz fan during this season. We're underway. Yesterday was training camp day number one. It was awesome to be in the gym all day. Was down there for the morning practice and attended the evening session as well. The way the league rules are, you can't have full contact in both sessions. So the morning session had the little scrimmage, and the second session had more kind of skeleton type drills and things of that nature to match the collective bargaining agreement. So kind of that's the setup for it. And we'll talk about various things that took place on today's show. I am David Locke, radio voice of the Jazz, your Jazz NBA insider. We do this podcast for you every day. If you have not already subscribed on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, please do. The Locked On Podcast Network also has Locked On NBA daily podcast for you. By the way, 3 million people already use Dave to save up to $1,000 a year in overdraft fees. That's why it's the number one budgeting app in the App Store. Go to dave.com/lockedon and never pay another overdraft fee. So Rudy Gobert shared with us that on the second play of the scrimmage, Bojan Bogdanović came off a screen on the wing with a right-hand dribble and lobbed it into Gobert for a above-the-rim slam dunk. This is what's going to be interesting about Rudy this year. Is as much as we've talked about Donovan and everyone else playing in space, Rudy's the one who maybe has the biggest difference playing in space. And that is his ability now to get to the rim, his ability shooters everywhere. I mean, the Jazz, you know, were running through their offensive sets the other day, and I'm sitting with Ron Boone and Thurl Bailey watching, and there were moments where we're like, how do you guard that? Right? It was Joe Ingles in one corner and Bojan Bogdanović in the other corner, and Mike Conley coming off or Donovan Mitchell coming off a pick from Rudy Gobert. Like, how are you guarding that? And here was the opening scrimmage, and Bojan comes around and lobs it up to Rudy for the slam dunk. Just right away. Bojan's really talented. He's a really, really good basketball player. In fact, the thought that struck me as I was watching practice yesterday was, will he be the Hornacek for this team? Will he be the player that makes that next step that pushes the whole team to make that next step? He's not Hornacek in the same way he was the second ball handler. He's the second scorer. He gives us 48 minutes of scoring. 48 minutes of scoring is a big deal. And Bojan gives us 48 minutes of scoring and also just a knockdown, dead-eye shooter. Boy, can he stroke it. And so that's going to be really interesting to see how he does things. I will say, the other one that jumped out to me is how much of what this whole opening part of training camp is teaching these veterans new habits. Unteaching them a decade worth of basketball can be as simple as almost all teams on a pick and roll. As the big is rolling, a guy comes in and hits him as part of their defensive scheme. The risk on that is if you check the guy, bump the guy, tag the guy, whatever you want to call it. The risk of that is if you tag the roll man, that then the roll man can occupy you and you have a hard time getting out to the corner. If you tag Rudy, with your outside guy, we're going to be able to throw to the corner to get a corner three. Well, the Jazz are one of the best teams in the NBA, if not the best team in the NBA, at denying the corner three. And so they generally, the Jazz are not what you would call, there's times where this changes, and I might be overgeneralizing, but the Jazz are not a team that is a tag team. Well, Jeff Green and Boyan have probably played most of their careers as a tag team. The Jazz shift and drift in different ways than other teams with different priorities. A lot of teams want to contest the corner three. The Jazz want to deny it, right? They just don't want you to take it. Those are subtle little changes, both on the defensive end, on how you're going, how these guys have to play. There's the same type of things on the offensive end as well. So in one sense, I think you see plays like what Rudy described to us in the media with Boyan coming up pick, understanding Rudy 7-1, understanding it's a lob, understanding you throw the high pass up to Rudy, and that he dunks it. Like, oh, like this is this is the way this team works. And this is the personnel. That, I think, in 11 years in the league, 10 years, Boyan has not had quite that many. Jeff Green has. Mike Conley has. In those cases, you know, that's one where the lack of time together, I don't think, has a particularly big impact. Because these guys just get the game. And they've played enough, and they see Rudy, and they get it. That one's easy. It's these other little subtle defensive things where I really think Quinn Snyder has to break habits and therefore almost has to go all the way back to stage one of the process to be able to kind of reteach terminology, fundamentals. You know, there's five ways teams guard the pick and roll in the NBA, five or six. And, okay, we're guarding it this way, but then here's the subtle change. Here's something we do differently on the backside, or here's something we do different as the ball comes into the front court. Here's something we do at the point of the screen that is different. And in that sense, this is a pretty difficult task for both the players and the coaching staff to get them to have new concepts to what they're doing. And the limited time now in the NBA of practice time, you really got to pound it. And that's where film session, early season practices, when things don't go right in the season, are going to have to get guys to understand it. And that I think that is going to be one of the most interesting aspects to the season. The other is how much these guys are going to have to change who they are as players. On the offensive side, just simply adjust, or let me rephrase that. I have questions on whether or not these guys can all do some things that need to be done in the Jazz offensive system that they have not done prior. That would probably be the better way to say it. Today's show is brought to you in part by The Store. The Store is located at 6200 South and 20th East. It's Utah's own. The greatest part about The Store is that when you go in there, you really feel like you're in a community spot where the locals come that represent the local commerce that goes out of its way, which they certainly do, to bring in local products, whether it's a jam or a popcorn or a cotton candy or a meat product that's out, the brisket that comes out of the place in Logan, because that's actually the best brisket they've ever tasted. The feel of Jeff and Scott and Amy that they put into the store, the meat all having been taste tested and using the company that actually tastes the best, not some big corporate deal of what comes in. You can feel that at The Store. It's the 600 South 20th East. You feel the community because you see the high school kids helping out the older folks with their bags back to the grocery store like it's a black and white movie. And now there's the downtown version right next to the gateway, or right in the gateway and across from the Children's Museum. There's The Store right down the street from the Vivint Smart Home Arena. Wow, that was an old reference. There's the downtown store, which makes you do feel like you're in a good city. It's got everything you need and the hot foods for lunch. And then the small store where I was yesterday over at 9th South and 100 West. That's The Store, 6200 South and 20th East. Stop by, feel it, and have the mudslide cookie the best cookie. Little overly sweet, somebody said. I'd have to say that criticism might be fair. But still, like, it's the best cookie you're ever going to have. Let me run through that list. These guys are pros. They're probably not going to have a problem getting these things done. But of our five main new guys, they all have to do something probably differently than what they've done before. So in the case of Boyan, can he pass? Right? Last year he had 2 assists a game. The year before he had 1.5. The year before that he had 1.4. Can he pass? It's a lot of time on the floor, 30 minutes with only 2 assists. So that's going to be, I think, of interest, is to see at what level, and evidently a lob to Rudy early shows a pretty good little note on that. He really is going to get advantages in this offense. In the night session, they ran through the basic fundamentals and reads and options off certain parts of their offense. It was just awesome to see how it works because it's just so darn cool. And all the different things that they can do. And Boyan is going to get opportunities and get great looks and get the ball on the move and be able to really do things. And is he a willing passer? Right? February, March last year on a limited team with a ton, averaging about 22 points a game and was just amazing. But in that same time period, over about 836 minutes, he had 60 assists. He had about 60 assists in 830 minutes in 26 games. So that's not a lot of passing. So is he, can he do that? Jeff Green is crazy skilled. Like, Jeff Green, I know, has been kind of this funny player that's got caught in the whole discussion of mid-range versus this, and he's 33 years old and keeps getting minimum contracts, which I just don't understand, and he's on his 8th team. I mean, there's all these, like, weird red flags, and he's not a great shooter, and he can handle. In fact, every single one of the Jazz power forwards can handle. It's really interesting to watch. I mean, quite honestly, last year and the year before, none of the Jazz power forwards could comfortably handle. Quinn forced it on Jay Crowder in a lot of ways, sometimes, frankly, to get him to stop taking the trailing early three in the shot clock that wasn't a great shot, instead have him play make and open up a door to him to new vehicles to his offense, which he did a pretty good job of. But Tabo Sefolosha, Derek Favors, Jay Crowder, no one could handle. Jonas Jerebko, Jay Crowder, Derek Favors, Tabo Sefolosha, nobody could handle. Jeff Green, Bojan Bogdanović, Joe Ingles, Royce O'Neal, George Niang, all can grab a rebound and go. All can initiate the offense from the top. It's really interesting. It gives Quinn all sorts of different things this group can do. Jeff Green is crazily skilled. You know, it's interesting, in the Get to Know interview that we'll have coming up with Jeff Green today, you'll hear from Dante Exum, and we'll hear from Jeff as the week goes on, probably next, actually. So tomorrow's Donovan, Ed Davis, George Yang. So Monday with Jeff Green, or maybe Tuesday. In that interview with Jeff Green, you'll hear him talk about John Thompson III, who pushed him more than anyone else in his career and taught him how to be a ball handler and a player and all these things. And you can still see it. Uncle Jeff Green is bringing the ball up and able to initiate the offense out of the top. Like, it's going to be really interesting to watch other power forwards have to guard him doing that. The thing about Jeff Green is, if you go back and watch him play over the years, he often uses a dribble to settle himself. It's a very common thing players do. They use a dribble to settle themselves
into getting where they want to go, and often from the top of the floor, and make that next play. He's coming off a year with his career high in assists, so you know he can move it. But in the Jazz system, you don't actually want to settle yourself. That's not something you actually want to settle yourself. You want to go. And Jeff does that. Like, if this is not something that he does, I mean, if you go look at his dunk numbers, he had 39 dunks last year, 63 the year before. I think he had the same amount of dunks as Donovan last year. That's because he's going and catching. But that's what we're all built on, is quick decisions, not dribbling and then figuring out what you're doing, knowing, having an advantage when you get the ball and reacting. He's a veteran. He's old enough. He certainly will be able to do those things. But it's not maybe the most natural thing for him. So that's a subtle little adjustment he has to make. Bojan has to look to pass more. Jeff Green has to not always play with the settled dribble. Mike Conley will have to play faster. We've talked about this a lot. Was Memphis slow because Memphis is slow? Or was Memphis slow because Mike Conley likes to be slow? And Mike Conley's more comfortable with all of his skills and what he does so great by getting in a half-court set. It's going to be real. Time's going to tell. But as we've talked about, probably more than you want to know, 27% of Mike Conley's possessions were in the final 7 seconds of the shot clock last year. It's too many. And he wasn't good at it. Shot 33%. So when you suddenly are on this team and, you know, the Jazz have some fundamentals they believe in pushing the ball and getting up the court early, does Mike Conley make that adjustment? That's going to be new for him. Or is his natural thing, the rebound comes, he gets it, he settles himself and gets ready for the possession and works up. That's how Trey Burke was coming out of Michigan. They played a half court. That's what he settled. And Quinn forever couldn't get him to go. It's subtle little changes in their games, in their aspects. Emmanuel Mudiay, who's going to have to learn first and foremost how to play in limited minutes. Right, he played 27 minutes a night last night for New York. Last year, he played 26 in Denver. He played 30 the year before that, his rookie year. He played 20 the year. He's not likely to play 20 minutes a night for the Jazz. How does he get a feel, get a vibe in shorter stints? And if the Jazz decide to use Mike Conley in 3 stints rather than 2, which is kind of a big decision you make in your rotation, then all of a sudden, Emmanuel Mudiay is playing in even shorter stints. And how does he adjust to that? And then, frankly, how does he change his shot selection? Right? Last year, Emmanuel Mudiay took 28% of his shots as long twos. Shot him pretty well. Shot him great. But that's a high number. And then skill development on Emmanuel is going to be a bigger thing. Right? He took 32% of his shots at the rim, but finished at just 54%. So can he have the same jump that Royce O'Neal did with some coaching? And if he can, that'd be great. If he can't, Emmanuel Mudiay is an interesting key to all this. We'll talk about it throughout the week. His ability to play the backup point guard and be good opens a million other doors for the Jazz. And if he's not good, then it limits some of the possibilities in this incredibly versatile offense. It's an interesting little note. And then there's Ed Davis. So we've talked about the new guys, Bojan and Conley and Jeff Green, Emmanuel Mudiay. And then there's Ed Davis. And I asked Ed Davis yesterday, so when you are playing pick and roll, how long does it get till you learn Conley, you learn Don? And Ed Davis turned and said, well, I told Donovan Mitchell when I set a pick, the purpose of the pick is to get him open. So I want him to be thinking about the picks when I set them, as a chance to get him open. Pretty cool. Pretty cool way to just immediately open up and say, hey, here I am. I'm a teammate. I'm here for you. I'm ready to help you out. That's how you endear yourself, and that's why Ed Davis is kind of regularly talked about as everybody's favorite player that they've ever talked, you know, favorite guy they've had on their team. He's not been crazily successful at this, right? That's worth, you know, that's worth noting, is that in his history of being a pick setter and all these things, this is not an area where they have, he's been outrageously successful. He doesn't have the greatest hands. He doesn't have the same verticality, but he's a pick setter who holds that pick and gets his guys open. And then, you know, is not the most, skilled when he gets the basketball. Okay. That's fine. You know, he's not finishing over the top of people, but he is getting his guys open on picks. And that's what you can ask him for. So that seems like a great teammate. All right. Dante Exum and I chat. And that is fun because Dante and I have known each other for a long enough time now that he gives me a really hard time and we bust each other's chops a little bit, and it's fun. And I enjoy the intelligence and the wit and the banter with Dante. Today's show is brought to you in part by my good friend Rob Taylor out at Shamrock Auto. Rob's probably riding his bike in the freezing cold listening right now and dedicated to the show. Huge, huge Jazz fan. Love him for that. So Rob built Shamrock Auto Group when he didn't like his own car buying experiences, and now he's built something that's really, really cool. What he's built is the place for nearly new cars out in Utah County. His favorite customers are the ones that just pick up the phone and call him and say, hey, I'm looking for this. And they trust him and Brady and the crew so much out at Shamrock Auto that they go and get the car for him and tell him it's coming. When he built the car, he wanted better cars, no drama, or when he built the dealership, no better cars, no drama, no hassle, great pricing, and I can get you any truck or sedan you want. Most of the cars are 6 to 12 months old, 5 to 20,000 miles, Suburbans, Yukons, big SUVs, Utah County assault vehicles, and he's going to take care of it. And then, if you go check out all the reviews, you see that he's done exactly what he wanted to do. With 80 years of combined automotive experience in the group, a buyer who is a technician for over 25 years, and a lean company, Rob makes sure that you get a gimmick-free, simple, easy experience, and that's what all the reviews say. It's out at Shamrock Auto in Pleasant Grove, 203 North, 2000 West, North County, North Utah County Boulevard. Give Rob a call. He's got 801-319-2250. If you're looking for a car, he can help you out at 801-319-2250. And in addition to that, Rob can tell you how great the Jazz are going to be this year. He is a big fan. So good conversation there. Rob Taylor, 801-319-2250 and Shamrock Auto. Dante Exum, get to know. We opened the conversation by discussing his favorite gift he was ever given as a kid, and then move on to all sorts of other fun conversations. Here's our get to know sit down preseason with Dante Exum.
The best gift I was ever given was a PlayStation 3. It was a Christmas. Me and my brother, we really wanted a Wii, like one of those Wii things that when they came out, and they were sold out everywhere. So we had to settle for a PlayStation 3, and it changed my life.
Who did you, like, you had a twin sister, so did you compete more with your twin sister?
I didn't have a twin sister.
Yes, that's true. You have a twin sister.
Yeah.
Did you compete more with your brother, your twin sister? How did that work?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I competed with them both, you know, cause my sister, she didn't play basketball, and my brother did. So obviously, you know, I competed with my brother, you know, growing up, you know, we have stories of us playing one-on-one in the backyard and him beating me and me coming in crying to my mom. But no, I think, you know, I definitely did have competitions with my sister, you know, who was going to represent Australia first, which it was me. So, but yeah, no, I had competitions with both.
She was trying to do it in track?
No, gymnastics at first.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now is she still trying to do it in track or not?
Yeah, she's still trying to do it in track, but she did eventually do it in gymnastics after me.
Okay. After you. Let's make sure that's clear. Who was it that was hardest on you growing up?
Who was hardest on me? No one.
This is either no one or everyone. I'm not sure which the non-answer is.
Actually, no, I got a good answer. I think the person that was actually hardest on me, it would have been one of my AAS coaches when I first got there. He was definitely the hardest on me. I remember, it was me, Ben Simmons, and one of my other friends. We walked in one day, and we just absolutely got ripped for no reason, I might add, but just got ripped. That was probably the kind of the eye opener, this is how people get treated sometimes. That's probably the only one. Everyone else has been pretty good to me.
You're telling stories about getting ripped all the time, and it's never your fault.
Yeah.
Right. Last time was Joe Ingles' fault.
Joe can verify that story, but that was right. That was right. I'll remember that to the day I die.
When you do, whose praise matters most to you?
Whose praise matters most to me? That's a tough question, because I think, obviously, it's coach, matters a lot, just because, if you're going out there, he's the guy that's, making the call at the end of the day. But, I think, being in this league, I think it's me, me praising myself, just knowing that I did something good, because I've usually always been a negative person, not negative, but just kind of hard on myself. So I think anytime I can find the positive things, it's really good.
So I have a question here, and I almost really want to ask you, the toughest thing to ever that you've ever had to overcome. How do you choose?
I would say it was the first injury, and then I'd say it was the second injury, and then I'd say it was the third injury. Obviously.
So what's the darkest moment?
The darkest moment, I think the shoulder was the toughest one. I think just with that one, I had such a good summer. I was playing, in LA, feeling good, I was the fittest I'd ever been. And then to come in and, it wasn't, my body or, something I did that was, in a way something someone else did. I won't say whatever, but I think that kind of hurt the most. It was tough, finding out.
On this last one, I'll admit I said, if he threw in the towel right now, I'm with him. Right. I just feel like it's some, how have you not done that?
Yeah, it was tough. I think, having the ankle injury, last season, that was super frustrating because, a lot of people, look at it as like an ankle sprain. It's like, I've had ankle sprains before, but it was a really bad one. But you feel that pressure, definitely the amount of times I've been out, you feel that pressure to come back and play and be healthy. I did come back a bit too soon or whatever, but I felt good in what I was doing. I think I had that mindset where I had that clear, okay, this is what I want to do, and I made a decision, and I had to stick by it. I didn't think it was as bad as it was when it first happened. I kept playing on it, to be honest. I tried to keep playing it. That's how much I wanted to play. And then it just didn't feel right. So, I thought it was just, a flare-up of tendonitis, and then, obviously found out. But it did hurt, and then it definitely did hurt seeing, watching the guys in playoffs and not being able to play.
You've got this, you're the fifth pick of a draft. That still lingers, right? That's a title. That's a label. There were expectations. It's a label. Now it's the oft-injured label. Where do you view yourself? Are you able to no longer feel the pressure of being a fifth pick of a draft? Are you able to, where do you feel yourself, and what's success for you at this point?
Yeah, no, I think, for me, it's, I'm always going to, have high standards of myself, and I'm always going to expect the best. And, I still have those, for me. It doesn't matter that I've been injured and that I haven't played as much. I'm this full expectation. I'm going to go out training camp and kill it and, earn my minutes, deserve my minutes, be on at the end of the game. That's my mindset, and I feel like I'm at a comfortable stage in, not only my career, but, my headspace, that, I can go out and achieve that.
You hear someone, I've said this, so I'm let him play off the ball. Just let him play. Let him stop thinking. Let him just play. Does that drive you crazy? Like, I'm lowering the bar for you, right? Like, does that drive you crazy when you hear that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't listen to media people, so. No, I think, you know.
I just made you. But I'm.
Yeah, no. You know, just going into it. That's the thing. You know, people say just play. And, you know, there's so much more than to just play. You know, yeah. I mean, I don't want to go into it too much, but I think, you know, the idea of going out and just playing and just enjoying it, you know, it's easier said than done. But, you know, I'm getting to a stage where, you know, I can do that. And, you know, I think, you know, Derek Favors, you know, he helped me a lot last year and just being able to, you know, it doesn't matter if I know I'm going out there for 2 minutes, I go in at this time and go out at that time, like, you can't be mad at that. Like, I would get mad at, like, coming out. So, you know, it's just having that mindset, okay, I've got 5 minutes to go out there and do what I can do. And, you know, once I get pulled out or whatever, you know, I knew it was going to happen. I can't be mad. And then if I get anything more, you know, it's a bonus. So, you know, that's definitely the mindset that I have.
A few quick hitters to end. When a fan thinks of Dante Exum, what do you want them to think?
Explosive.
When a friend, you don't have to say one word, but when a friend thinks of Dante Exum, what do you want them to think?
A friend? I was thinking of me. I don't know. I don't have any friends.
All right. When a teammate thinks of Dante Exum, what do you want them to think?
I don't know. These are tough. A teammate? Good locker room guy.
All right.
Thanks a ton to Dante. Treat yourself to a meal you deserve. Have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners get $5 off their first order and $15 more when you download the DoorDash app. Enter the promo code LOCKEDON on your DoorDash app. Tomorrow, our Get to Know series will continue. We'll sit down with Donovan Mitchell in our conversation we had together, plus more from training camp. Follow me on Instagram at DLock09 for the latest little updates as well. That's DLock09 plus live interviews throughout the week. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On NBA is your national show, available for you daily.